this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. And our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days, when the stars and stripes forever symbolize her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this.
Welcome back, folks, to another edition of Republic Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Maggie Rose, and you're listening to The Concord Hour. Today's date is the live broadcast is November the 6th, 2023. I hope you all had a great weekend. I know that I had a fairly relaxing weekend, and I'm planning another trip here in the very near future to go down into the occupied state of California and deal with some interesting issues down there. And then I'm going to be flying out of state again sometime in the near future. We've decided we're not going to go overseas after all. It is just really too crazy right now. And it doesn't matter what country you go to or where you're going. The world is just such a mess right now. And we had an experience coming back from one of the southern states last week. And we have TSA PreCheck. And you pay extra for that. And it's good for just a few years. And yet they decided for those of us in the TSA PreCheck that they were going to practice one of their little experimental programs on us regarding an algorithm. And for whatever reason, they didn't like, and I had numerous different pieces of ID. I have a couple of federal IDs. I have state IDs, you name it. And the one that was one of the federal IDs, they didn't like it because the picture of me looked a little bit fuzzy. Now, they weren't even smart enough to say, wait a minute, this is a black and white picture. And their algorithm, for whatever reason, didn't really like the look of my ID versus me standing in front of their stupid camera. So, you know, folks, I have always had nothing but positive experiences with TSA. I don't know what you guys have felt about it. The only time it got kind of crazy is when we were in Ireland in 2019. And because of them, we lost a package that we never even made it through customs with it. We were told that it was going to end up on the other side of the little gang belt thing, and it never did get to us, and it just kind of disappeared into the ethers. And it was just a souvenir. It was probably not worth more than $65, but it was just the point of it. But even then, the Irish TSA were so kind and so helpful. But this day in Arizona, we received a gentleman who was practicing the algorithm on this stupid camera. And he's an older gentleman with glasses, and he was very nasty. He let my husband go through and then kind of pushed me off to one side with all of our bags, left my husband, who's disabled, standing there for over 30 minutes, and said that, you know, he had tried two or three times, and then he tried with another camera. Oh, it's not going to work. It doesn't like your ID picture, so I'm going to send for someone to come up. He never did. he got nastier and nastier. And then when someone came to relieve him on a break, this TSA employee walked away. Now, folks, this was at the Phoenix Sky Harbor, Arizona airport. And again, this guy was rude and crude and just basically left me hanging there. Didn't care at all. And if you say anything like, are you calling someone to come and help me? He just looked at me and turned around and walked away. That's how nasty and rude he was. Okay. So it's just getting to the point nowadays where it doesn't feel as safe to go through the airports as it used to feel. And then going overseas, folks, you just don't know what's going to hit you over there. And if you might get overseas and then not be able to get back. So we just decided there's not going to be traveling abroad. It's just reaching a point right now where it appears a lot of people are telling me they just decided they're not going to travel anymore. The airlines we are on going to and from were very nice. The people were very courteous. It would have been nicer. And I know the TSA has a lot of stress and they're having to deal with a lot of stuff. But when you do a TSA pre-check and you've paid for it, and it's supposed to mean that you're supposed to go through a little bit faster and help keep the lines from blocking up, and yet they decide to try their experimental program on you and TSA, that's, to me, it doesn't make any sense. So anyway, with that set aside, we are going into today part two of a three-part series on the VA system. And I want you first to understand, I want to put out a disclaimer there. Even though most of what we're going to be talking about today is going to be about the Roseburg, Oregon VA system, which sometimes is linked up to Portland, not usually. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But when I talk about the VA Roseburg, Oregon, understand that even though the VA Roseburg has had serious problems for 20 years, there are VA hospitals around the nation that are just about as bad. Okay, maybe not nearly as bad, but have some really serious problems themselves. And some of the problems they're having are very similar to what's going on in Roseburg VA. Now, I don't know if the people at those VA hospitals, the veterans and or the employees, are fighting back stronger, taking a stand, drawing a line in the sand. I don't know what it is. But I can't speak to those VAs. Some of you might be able to. I cannot. What I can tell you is that I have used more than one VA on the West Coast. I've used those down in California. I've used those up in Portland, Oregon. I have had experience through my father with the one he had in Washington, up near Seattle. I've had experience for 20 plus years with the VA in Roseburg. Not only my father, but my husband and myself. And both my father and my husband were 100% disabled. Or my husband is. So it's not like we are just kind of talking out of our side of our mouth and we don't have experiences and stories. And what really bothers me, there's two things that really will get me, is when you have a nurse calling you sweetie or hun. I am not your sweetie. I am not your hun. I'm a nurse myself. And I believe that's demeaning and degrading, especially to talk that way to a senior citizen or somebody who's over the age of 55, 60. Okay, we are not your honeys. We are not your sweeties. And please do not talk to us condescending. Also, they seem to be trained all to say the same thing, almost like the news media. They all end up parenting the same words. They say, we're sorry you feel that way. Or I understand how you feel. No, you don't understand how I feel. Most of you out there working at the VA have not gone through what we've gone through. So don't tell me you understand how we feel. Don't sit there and say that you understand or that you're sorry. Because how many times have I heard them say, we're really sorry you went through that or really sorry you experienced that. And then they turn around and they continue to be part of the problem. A few years ago at the Roseburg VA, right in the middle of the plandemic, as we like to call it, the COVID, coronavirus means cold or flu, but in this case, we all know it was bioweaponized. And another thing that irritates me is and this is the one thing that Trump, I don't understand why he keeps saying the China virus. It was not a China virus. The virus was mutated and manipulated in the laboratories and created by the deep state with the backing of the CIA out of Fort Detrick, Maryland, with Dr. Ralph Barak, who was working with bat viruses out of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Dr. Charles Lieber, who is the biology chemistry professor out of Harvard, and Dr. Daniel Anderson out of Duke University, who is the science fact checker, you know, the fact checkers, out of Facebook. She's been employed by Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, and Dr. Daniel Anderson was actually working with Obama and Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. Charles Lieber and Dr. Ralph Barak, and she was helping taking samples of different viruses and transporting them out of the United States into China and back and forth. Now, Dr. Charles Lieber, I can't speak much for Dr. Ralph Barak. I don't know a lot about his history, so I'm not going to talk about what I don't know about. That is not a good journalist. I will say that Obama and Fauci were working with Dr. Ralph Barak. I will say that Bill Gates and Melinda and their foundation were paying Dr. Charles Lieber at Harvard an awful lot of money to do what he was doing. He was also getting a salary at Harvard University, and he was getting paid $50,000 a month from the Red Chinese, supposedly for work that he was doing for them and his involvement with the Thousand Talents Program. Now, if those of you that don't know about the Thousand Talents Program, you need to look it up. Unfortunately, we have students coming from other countries, especially from China, coming here, going to our universities, getting themselves to work in our laboratories and in those areas of technical expertise, stealing our technology and our secrets and taking it back to China after they graduate. Then they come back after a few years when nobody would really recognize them or understand they were the same ones that were here before, and they do it all over again. We have many communist Chinese very high up that have gone to numerous universities and colleges around the United States, and they don't care if they have to pay double and triple what a student would pay who's from that state. If you're an in-state student resident, your tuition is a little bit lower. If you're coming from out of state as a student from, let's say you're going from California to New York, you're going to pay a slightly higher tuition until you've been in that state 1 year or so, and then you can establish residency in that state that you're going to school, university, college in, and get your tuition reduced. When you come from a foreign country like China, oh boy, those colleges and universities, they love you because they are really going to rack up the out-of-country student fees. But China didn't care. They had money to burn, right? Especially if it meant that they could get something for their money, which means stealing our technology. So we have this going on this one end, okay? And then we have people in the VA system that they're only going to listen to the CDC, which is a private company and business. Were you aware of that? The CDC is not a government entity or program, just like the Federal Reserve is not a government entity. Neither is the International Monetary Fund. And the VA is going to listen to the CDC. They're going to listen to the FDA, who's been corrupted from within. They're going to listen to the World Health Organization, which the person at the head of that is basically as much a communist or Marxist as you can get. He has been instrumental in the death of many of his own people. And we're finding that the United Nations is still playing the same old games. You have people in the United Nations that do not like America, do not respect America, and are abusing America and taking advantage of America at every turn, and would like nothing better than to take America down to its knees. They are the ones that kept the war going in Vietnam and telling the Viet Cong and the Russians where we were at all times. They were the ones, the United Nations, that cost us that war. And so many other things. But what I want to do is bring it closer to home, to the VA. We have Veterans Day coming up next week on the 11th. And they are not taking care of the veterans like they promised. And this has been going on for decades. How many men have died from Agent Orange? And families were ripped apart. And many of them, the widows and their children, left with nothing. And then finally the VA comes 30, 40, 45 years later when they know that most of them have died off. And then they say, oh yeah, now we're going to have this program where if you are exposed to Agent Orange or anything else under the PAC Act, now you can go ahead and make your application. You're going to tell me that all of a sudden after more than 48 years, now all of a sudden they're saying, oh yeah, there is something to it? When they know most of our veterans have died, many of them horrible deaths? What are some of the problems we're identifying within the across the nation? Well, Roseburg VA is not the only one that's had this challenge. What is the definition of insanity? When you keep on doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for different results, or telling your veterans and their families, just give us a chance, just give us a chance. Get your foot in the door and give us a chance. Well, I'm pissed off and angry because as a woman who served 35 years in the military, whose husband served over 35 years in the military, who both my father served in the Army and the Marine Corps, that both my grandfather served in Army and in the Marine Corps in World War I and World War II. I've had other in-laws who've served in various services. My father-in-law was in the Army Air Corps. Another grandfather got addicted to prescription medications because the VA was not taking care of him properly. Walter Reed got him addicted to prescription medications and did absolutely nothing about it. How many times has a doctor or nurse practitioner or provider sent a veteran to go get tests, to get lab tests, and the results came back, and they sat in the doctor's or the provider's office and were never given to the doctor provider, and weeks went by and they were never read. The veteran was never called and told, guess what? We just found out your white blood count is too high. You better get yourself in here. How many reports have we gotten where reports of veterans going and being tested for various ailments that they didn't know what they had? And then all of a sudden, 3, 4, 5, 6 months go by and they're making phone calls and they're being pushed to the side. And then they're told, I'm sorry, you got stage 4 cancer. You better start making, you know, final plans with your family. Folks, this has happened all across the nation. It's happened in Arizona. It's happened in Texas. It's happened in Oregon. I remember one case where my husband was having 9 foot surgeries over a period of time. And during one of the last foot surgeries, we had to let the provider know ahead of time, you know he's going for surgery. You're having him go for surgery out in the community. You're shuffling everything out into the community because you say we don't have the specialist here because the VA in Washington, D.C. will not pay for the specialist to be at our VA. They want to call us a rural area. We're really not that rural. We're right between Eugene and Medford. We're not that rural. And so a paper had to be sent to the doctor who had to sign it. And once the doctor signed it, it would be sent back to prosthetics. Now, this is the VA Roseburg. And then once prosthetics would get it, they would be able to authorize for him to get a scooter because you're not allowed to walk on your foot when you've had foot surgery. You have to be on a scooter for many, many weeks. So time and again, we made inquiries. Has the scooter been ordered? And time again, we keep getting the royal brush off, the royal kiss off. Finally, a few days before the surgery, I go to the clinic, and I'm a little bit upset when I found out the paper had been sitting in the doctor's box, and this is not the provider he has now, but sitting in the doctor's box for weeks. Now, my voice went up just a little bit. I didn't go postal, didn't throw anything, didn't cuss, didn't swear, didn't make any threats. Just they could tell by the tone of my voice, I was upset, and I was scared for my husband. I just decided, you know what? I'm fed up with it. So I walked out of the facility. As I did, one of my friends, who at that time was a federal police officer, he's now retired, came running in the door and he greeted me because we'd known each other for years. as he ran by me. And I said, where are you going in such a hurry? He said, oh, the clinic. He didn't say which clinic. Says there's some woman going postal on them. I said, oh, really? Oh, that's not good. And I walked out the door. Later on, after talking to him, I found out that these employees, many of them who don't want to do their job and they don't want to deal with solving problems and they don't want to find out where the misconnect was and they don't want to find out who dropped the ball, they just pick up the phone and they act all freaked out to get the federal police officers to come running. So therefore, they don't have to deal with the patient or the client or the family. These are problems we've tried to bring up to many directors at the Roseburg VA in Roseburg, Oregon. And they ignore us. They give us 20 minutes, 30 minutes to talk to us. They say, just come see us, get your foot in the door. Then we'll talk to you and then we'll take lots of notes and we'll get back with you. And then months and years go by and they don't get back with you. I have a case right now pending that's been pending since June with the Advocate Program. And the advocate said nobody's listening to them. They passed that on up to the top, and yet nobody addressed it. Nobody cared. Well, I have some things here that I wanted to read to you. And I read you on part one of the VA Roseburg regarding the Veterans Hospital in Oregon. A push for better ratings puts patients at risk, doctors say. So I'm going to read part of that right now again, because some of you have asked. This was put out by the New York Times, Dave Phillips, January 1st, 2018. An 81-year-old veteran in Roseburg, Oregon, hobbled into the emergency room at the Rural Veterans Affairs Hospital here in December, malnourished and dehydrated, his skin flecked with ulcers and his ribs broken from a fall at home. A doctor examining the veteran, a 24-year Air Force mechanic named Walter Savage, who'd been living alone, the doctor decided he was in no shape to care for himself and should be admitted to the hospital. A second doctor running the inpatient ward agreed, but the hospital administration said no. Though there were plenty of empty beds, records show that a nurse in charge of enforcing administration restrictions said that Mr. Savage was not sick enough to qualify for admission to the hospital. He waited 9 hours in the emergency room until he was sent home. Quote, the doctors were mad, the nurses were mad, said Mr. Savage's son-in-law, Mark Riddleman, and my dad was mad too. He kept saying, I've laid down my life on the line, I did 2 years in Vietnam, and this is what I get, unquote. The denial appeared to be part of an attempt by members of the Roseburg Veterans Administration Medical Center, and by the way, folks, this was in 2018, it's still going on, to limit the number of patients admitted to the hospital in an effort to lift its quality of care ratings. Fewer patients meant fewer chances of bad outcomes and better scores for a ranking system that grades all veterans hospitals on a scale of 1 to 5 stars. In 2016, administrators began cherry-picking cases against the advice of doctors, turning away complicated patients and admitting only the lowest risk ones in order to improve their metrics. According to multiple interviews with many doctors and nurses at the hospital and a review of documents, those metrics helped determine both the Roseburg Hospital's rating and the leadership's bonus checks. Woo! By denying veterans care, the ratings climbed rapidly from 1 star to 2 in 2016, and the director earned a bonus of $8,120. Current and former staff members say the practice may reach well beyond Roseburg. Recent government reports also challenged the reliability of the department's metrics, casting doubt on a key tool that it says relies on for reforming its beleaguered healthcare system. The hospital's director at the time, Doug Paxton, acknowledged that being more selective had improved ratings, but denied that the hospital is turning away patients to improve scores. Tightening administrations, he said, benefited patients, not metrics, because Roseburg Hospital lacks the resources of acute patients, so many need to be sent to larger hospitals in the community. Quote, the number of the indicators of the quality of care for the veterans. So, yeah, sure, we're worried about the numbers. But, you know, if you improve the care to veterans, in turn, your numbers are going to improve. That's just the bottom line, unquote, he said. But five emergency room doctors strongly disagreed at Roseburg VA. In a letter in response to questions from the New York Times, they said they warned about the arrangement at Roseburg where physicians are repeatedly overruled by administrators. Quote, when we voice concern that a process is dangerous and not good for patient care, we are met with the response that this is what the director wants. We cannot express strongly enough how detrimental this process has been for patient care and how unacceptable it would be anywhere else, the letter noted. The day after Mr. Savage was turned away, he showed up again asking for help. Again, he was denied. He waited for hours in the emergency room until a doctor finally admitted him against the wishes of the administration. The administration, ever mindful of metrics, moved him to a nursing home in less than 24 hours. The Department of Veterans Affairs began grading hospitals about 4 years ago based on 110 performance indicators such as wait times, infection rates, nurse turnover at its 1,200 hospitals and clinics. And on the surface, the scrutiny appears to have paid off. In 2016, according to the department, 82% of facilities had improved. But Roseburg? Even Roseburg, for years the hospital in this logging town, which had no intensive care unit and limited surgery facilities, has struggled with the challenges that other rural hospitals face. It was hard to attract new doctors. A small staff meant that just one open position could create a pileup of delays. Doctors constantly left for higher paying jobs outside the system. But as more patients were sent away in recent years, Roseburg was recognized by the Department of Veterans Affairs as one of the rising stars of its healthcare system, unquote. Folks, it is now dropping again. The article goes on to say, however, interviews with staff at the hospital suggest that some improvements were pure manipulation. And in some cases, efforts to improve the rating system actually made care worse. It's a numbers game, quote. The leadership has figured out the hospital can actually do better by seeing less patients, said Dr. Steve Bloom. A hospitalist there who said he has seen patients regularly turned away or transferred to private hospitals. These numbers show up on the director's report card, so it's very important that they look good, unquote. On average, more than half the hospital beds are now sitting empty. He said while patients are either sent home or transferred to private hospitals at government expense, costly transfers don't come out of the Roseburg budget, but they do protect the hospital by moving risk to other facilities books. For the few patients that are admitted to Roseburg, other tactics are used to further improve their ratings. The hospital is penalized when patients are hospitalized with congestive heart failure because it counts as a sign of poor preventative care. So doctors said they're told to list it as hypervolemia, a condition that occurs when there's too much fluid in the blood, a diagnosis that isn't tracked and then hides the actual problem. Another penalty is assessed for deaths in the hospital or within 30 days of discharge. To avoid counting these, doctors and nurses say, and we'll be right back, folks. This is Maggie Rose, the Concord Hour at RBN.
Where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak, holding wrecks and boiling diesels, steam at 45 degrees. The time has come to say fair's fair, to pay the rent, to pay our share.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because of the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Changing
Can you hear me okay? Hello? Julie? Julie? I don't know what's going on. We're having really bad storming conditions here, folks. So having some difficulty. I mean, I can see that I'm still on, but for some reason, the storm out there is really messing with the audio. I don't know what's going on here. Anyway, thank you so much, Julie, for standing by for me and helping me there. Folks, you're listening now to the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going into the second half of the hour. I am your host, Maggie Rose, and you're listening to the Concord Hour on today's date, November the 6th. Now, for those of you that are just tuning in for the first time, I also do the Concord Hour on Fridays. Same time from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 Pacific Standard Time. And Jeffrey Bennett has asked me to do his show tomorrow, The Edge of Darkness. So I will be doing The Edge of Darkness tomorrow at this same time. And we will be covering some of the major news that's going on around the world right now and some people that I've been able to interview from over in Israel. I have actually been in touch with three individuals that I've been able to actually speak with. And then I've also been private messaging a couple of others, one of them that was actually at the concert that was taking place when they were attacked about 6:30 in the morning on that very fateful Saturday. I was reading this article about the Roseburg VA. And it said here that another penalty is assessed for deaths in the hospital or within 30 days of discharge. To avoid counting these, doctors and nurses say the administration regularly persuades veterans to be admitted only as hospice patients, signaling that they are terminal and don't want treatment. I want to read that again, folks. In Roseburg VA, and probably in other VAs as well, another penalty is assessed for deaths in the hospital or within 30 days of discharge. To avoid counting these, doctors and nurses say the administration regularly persuades veterans to be admitted only as hospice patients, signaling that they are terminal and don't want treatment. Often neither is true. Doctors said some veterans were switched to hospice without their knowledge. It's extremely unethical, Dr. Blum said. I was asked to do it, and so were the emergency department doctors, and we refused. So the administration just did it anyway. The focus on improving scores overshadowed the deep-seated problems, staff said, including crippling turnover in primary care doctors. In 2015, 17 of 23 primary care doctors left, according to Laura Follett, who oversaw scheduling for Roseburg's primary care. Teams would have no doctors, and we would just have to cancel appointments, Ms. Follett said. She resigned in 2016. Dangerous gaps appeared when doctors ordering critical tests were no longer around to review the results and alert patients. Several nurses said they saw positive cancer screening alerts and other critical lab results languish for weeks or even months. Alerts go into Neverland, said Trevor Moss, a nurse who works in the medical center's specialty clinic in Eugene, Oregon. So, folks, that is just part of what's been going on. Another person said, we are like an airport with no traffic air control, no air traffic control. We don't know where our hospitals are. We don't know where they're headed. All we do and can respond to is the crashes. I'd rather be able to look ahead and prevent them. The department regularly audits hospitals, he said, but the Government Accountability Office raises doubts in a report this fall, noting in many cases the data seem inaccurate, but the central office quote has not determined the extent to which these problems exist. In 2014, when Mr. Paxton took over Roseburg, he vowed to turn around a hospital that had long ranked as one of the worst in the system, unquote. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, it still is. Nothing's changed. We have a new director now by the name of Patrick Hall. He's been around 6 to 8 months and still nothing's changed. And he's only willing to give people 30 minutes to get their foot in the door to tell them what the concerns are. But do you ever hear back? This has been going on director after director after director for 20 years. He had added staff and tried to cut inefficiencies and had tapped his new chief of mental health, a social worker by training named Paul Bering, to figure out how to improve metrics. Can you believe that? I'm going to read it again. He added staff, tried to cut inefficiencies, and tapped his new chief of mental health, a social worker by training named Paul Bering, to figure out how to improve metrics. In an interview, Mr. Bering said focusing on hospital admissions was strategic as it accounted for a big slice of the rating. Quote, it has weighted really high, so we knew he had to optimize that measure, he said. The medical center created an exclusion list of conditions deemed too severe for Roseburg and to put in place a, quote, utilization management team of administrators to improve hospital admissions during a risk analysis score. Doctors were required to call an off-site nurse to ask permission to admit a patient. Patients who had a high risk of death, usually because of advanced age, were routinely transferred to other hospitals or sent home. Even low-risk patients that Roseburg easily could have cared for, such as people with pneumonia, were denied, doctors said. I can relate to that. That was my husband. I had to literally take my husband from the emergency room when they sent him home and drive him to Riverbend in Springfield, Oregon, where he was admitted to ICU with advanced pneumonia, where the urgent care emergency room at Roseburg VA said there was nothing wrong with him. He didn't even have to go home for medications. And then they tried to change the records. Isn't that interesting? That's illegal, isn't it? It goes on to say in a statement, the Department of Veterans Affairs in Roseburg was not manipulating data, adding, all admission decisions are based on the hospital's ability to provide the care patients require and are made by clinicians, including the faculty chief of staff and or her clinical chiefs of service. Non-clinical administrators have nothing to do with these decisions. The hospital has no plans to change its admitting practices. In November, Roseburg was demoted back to one star because of what Mr. Bering called a death or two. But he said it was a temporary setback and the hospital has already deployed countermeasures that would soon set its ratings up again. One of those measures, doctor says, appears to be that admissions have become even more strict. Folks, then you've got this other one here that's also talking about the same thing. Veterans Affairs to investigate Eugene and Roseburg clinics. This was published in 2017. I will warn you that things haven't really improved. U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs investigators plan to visit the state to look at management, personnel issues, and medical practices at the Roseburg and Eugene Veterans Clinics, a spokeswoman for the Oregon congressman said. This was when it was under DeFazio. The investigation follows a report by the Register Guard less than 2 weeks ago by claims by Dr. Scott Rusi, by the way, folks, no, he's been kicked out, he's gone, and several nurses that poor leadership at the Roseburg VA location and retaliation against whistleblowers were driving doctors to move to the Eugene Clinic, compromising patient care in Roseburg. Shannon Goodwin, at that time, a spokeswoman for Veterans Affairs in Roseburg, confirmed two investigators were to go by. There's a culture of fear of retaliation. Folks, I'm telling you, that's going on at Roseburg VA right now and other VAs across the nation. There's a culture of fear of retaliation in Roseburg that's making it difficult to attract and retain talent, which leads to worse care for veterans. He's not calling out any one person by name. He's calling for change and investigation into what is creating this culture. Amber Beyer, who is a nurse at the Eugene Clinic, was on staff when Rusi was fired on August the 4th, is looking forward to the investigator's visit. She said she's willing to speak to them openly. Rusi said he was fired without any explanation or opportunity to challenge his termination. Goodwin did not comment on Rusi's firing, citing privacy issues. Oh, that's always a fallback, folks. They say that prevents Veterans Affairs from commenting on personnel issues. Beyer hopes the investigation will result in Rusi's return. What we want to see happen is to improve the care here in the Roseburg VA. We want to destroy roadblocks and loosen red tape. We want to see fair and equitable treatment of our staff, unquote. Really? Well, folks, it's now 2023, and I don't see anything changing anytime soon. In fact, whenever you try to put forth any paperwork, because you know that there's been malpractice or something going on, They tell you that they're going to have an investigation going on. They have a person that handles those things. And then he tells you when you meet with him that you will never know the outcome of those results. You will never have the satisfaction in knowing whether or not that person was either reprimanded or fired, or that any positive changes have been made to make sure these things don't happen again. Folks, I'm telling you right now, I can't remember if it was 2020, News Magazine, 60 Minutes, but many years ago, I saw an expose on the VA system itself. And the name of the article was Delay, Delay, Deny, Deny, and Hope We Die in the Process. Let me say it again. Delay, Delay, Deny, Deny, and Hope We Die in the Process. They just want to go have us go away, folks. I've tried to get a meeting for over 6 to 7 months with Peter Hall. And a report that I put with the advocates in June to this day still hasn't been addressed. And now he's saying with his secretary, Candy, oh, they're only willing to give me 30 minutes. She said, just get this appointment. She called me today. You know, Maggie Rose, just take this appointment and get your foot in the door. And then we can revisit whether or not we give you other dates and times for another 30 minutes here and another 30 minutes there. Now, the chief of staff did call me. And we talked in great detail, but now I realize he was just wanting to find out what I knew and what I was going to blow the whistle on. So can I trust the chief of staff? I don't know. I don't care that he was a 30-year career man in the Navy. I don't care that he's been a surgeon. I don't care that he's got this beautiful resume. He and Mr. Hall in the last 6 to 8 months and the other gentleman, the chief of staff, has been here 20 months. I have seen no improvement. You still have people refusing to treat women veterans. You still see them attacking people who are whistleblowers. You still see doctors literally being fired or being pushed out of the system. You better quit. You better turn in. You better go somewhere else, or we're going to make your life miserable, or we're going to take your license away from you. That's what they threatened a lady that was a doctor, a medical doctor in the urgent care. She had a license here, and she had a license, I guess, in Georgia. And they threatened her license in Georgia if she didn't go away. Here was another article that came out. When Mr. Paxton was finally released and told to go. You know, folks, during the coronavirus, during the pandemic, the director we had in 2020, 2021, here we were all being forced to wear a mask if we wanted to go in there. We weren't allowed to see our loved ones and patients. And for those that had dementia or Alzheimer's, not ever allowed to have any stimulation again, not allowed to see their loved ones, started decompensating mentally, and many of them died in the process. But what was he doing? Throwing pizza parties for the VA Roseburg administration staff in the ivory tower of the director's administration building. And none of them were wearing masks, and it was videoed with them dancing around each other to Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline. A pizza party. While people were dying, supposedly, and they were closing down the VA, where we got substandard care, no care at all, not allowed to see our loved ones in the facility, locked away from them from anywhere from 4 to 9 months straight. And they're dancing to Sweet Caroline, touching me, touching you, touching me, touching you. Talk about poor leadership. It said here when the statement to the VA by Charge Carolyn Clancy said the move regarding Doug Paxton is a necessary as a step to improve the care for veterans in Oregon. There are times that facility leadership needs to change in order to usher in a new approach that will demonstrate we are committed to delivering results for veterans and taxpayers, unquote, she added. Really? Is that why I've counted no fewer than 10 to 15 directors that have come through Roseburg VAs since 2003? Is that why the games were going on with the director at the time, Mr. Marshall, who would not even talk to veterans that were in the Wounded Warrior program at the time on active duty and were having serious issues with the VA Roseburg? And he would set up an appointment to meet with you, and then you could hear him in the back saying, tell her that I'm not here? The Rosebrook facility is one of 15 of the lowest performing centers under the VA's rating system. Shortly after news of Paxton's firing became public, department officials also announced new initiatives aimed at cleaning up problems at those locations and to include outside teams of health experts advising on needed changes in operations and management. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, when we go into part three next Monday regarding the VA system, I'm going to tell you there's a new program they have out now called Cerna. And this is something that the VA Washington, D.C., I don't know who's getting money under the table. I don't know what contracts the VA Washington, D.C. has made in the billions of dollars. And they know damn well it does not work and it's not user-friendly and can cost the lives of veterans across the nation. They already are doing this Cerna program, experimental program, at the VA Roseburg, Oregon. They're talking about pushing it on Portland, VA, in March, and pushing it on Chicago, Illinois, Veterans Administration Hospital. They've got it going on in at least 4 to 5 different locations now. Nurses and doctors have said this is putting the veterans and themselves and their licenses and their ability to practice medicine at risk. And yet all these bigwigs came down last week from Washington, D.C., from the VA, the regional director who kept promising he was going to meet with me for a few minutes, kept going by me, promising to come back 2 different times, took off and never came back. And I was standing outside when they released all the employees from this meeting. Nurses and doctors got up and said, we do not feel safe with this system. This is not user-friendly. We can't communicate with other specialists and other VA hospitals. We cannot even communicate properly with the VA up in Portland. And this Cerner program is not going to make it any better. And do you know that the regional director and the director who plays along to get along, Mr. Patrick Hall at the VA Roseburg? And do you know the Washington, D.C. VA system and all these bigwigs that came down for all these media meetings where they were being rushed around to all these different media events? That's right, the fox in charge of the hen house, the whitewash, the cover-up. Vision 20, based out of Vancouver Barracks, Washington. They basically told the nurses, those that work in urgent care, in emergency room, trauma. They told the doctors and nurses and other medical personnel, we don't care what you think. We're going to do this anyway. We don't care what your concerns are. Just deal with it. We don't care. We're going to go forward. Just deal with it. My Healthy Vet, which was not user-friendly, they've now, we just found out the other day when we tried to explain we couldn't get into My Healthy Vet. Oh, by the way, you didn't know? We've gotten rid of My Healthy Vet. We have this other new system, which my husband tried to get into. It does not work. The VA in Washington, D.C. has their head up their you-know-what. They are so blinded by politics and money and trying to save face because they spent billions of dollars lining somebody else's pockets for a program that has not been properly tested. And now they're going to test it, not only at the VA Roseburg where it's not working, but they're going to start pushing it on the VA Portland, and they're going to push it in Chicago, Illinois. And they've got it at 4 or 5 other testing sites around the nation. And they don't want the doctors and nurses at all these VAs to have contact with each other, to be warning each other what the problems are and what the problems are that are being faced. And you got nurses and doctors saying, I'm afraid for my patients. You can end up killing patients. We already have a problem at Roseburg VA where now they've got community care, which gets results when your doctor sends you out into the community to get a specialist to get your test. And the results come back to community care. They're complaining, saying, oh, it's not our fault. It sits around forever and doesn't get back to your provider. That it doesn't get sent to your provider who should call you up and say, you know, by the way, I think you might have cancer. Your white blood count is over, you know, through the roof. So the community care is not working like it should be. And yet the more they keep pushing us out into the community, the more they have that as an excuse where they don't need to have the VA hospital as a hospital. They don't need to bring in the specialist that we really need. They want to turn us into clinics across the nation. They don't want us to be VA hospitals unless politically it's advantageous for show and tell. Veterans are being underserved. Women veterans are being served even less. Many, many providers are now stating in some VA hospitals and clinics that if they have to work with women veterans, they don't want to work with women. And they won't work with women. I saw nurses abusing my father and other patients in the dementia Alzheimer's wards. These people either have job burnout or they're just there to get their 30-year pension retirement from the federal government, and they really don't like their job and they really don't want to be there. Well, then you should not be there. Folks, this is Maggie Rose. We're going to go into part three of this next Monday. Next Monday here at RBN with the Concord Hour. Again, part three will be next Monday. Tomorrow we'll be coming up with some important news regarding what's going on over in Israel and some first eye accounts of what's happening. And on Friday, I'm having Jim Hoffman come up. He's an Army veteran. He's been here with us before, and he will be co-hosting with me on Friday. So tomorrow it's going to be on Israel and some eyewitness accounts of what is really going on. And Friday will be with Jim Hoffman here with me on the Concord Hour at the same time here on RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network. God bless you all. Have a good night.
And our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. Cause it's right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.